This is Leslie Kane, and you're listening to That UFO Podcast.
I'll put those links in the description, folks. But listen, Samuel, lots of people with questions for you sent those over. Thank you to everyone who sent in questions. I'll try and get through as many as possible right now with Samuel. Let's get started, Samuel. A question from Nick. Nick asks, what does Samuel make of comments from individuals like Ross Coulthart, who suggest China is in the process of surpassing the US's advancements in electrogravitics?
I think China, the government is doing their own thing. I think the more important aspect for China, actually this is the reason that I reach out to you, is that China is undergoing a massive movement by its public. So China with this population size, with the size of the population, there's a grassroots movement of awakening up to the spiritual aspect of certain things. So even though the government is trying to control the media, the censorship, I think it's the power of the public that really can make great changes in the future. If you really look at the history of China or other countries, great revolutions always come from the public, from the mass. It's always come from the bottom-up process, not the top-down process. So a lot of people have been trying to really put a lot of efforts in having the president or the Congress or the government officials to disclose certain things. That's good effort. I think the better effort would be causing this grassroots movement from the public in China and in the US to, or in the UK or in Europe or any other country, India, or for example, for the public to start to wake up, to understand the significance of the disclosure of ETs, UFOs, or UAPs, and also the consequences of the disclosure, especially in terms of the technologies, and also in terms of the religious beliefs, theological implications of the disclosure. And I would strongly encourage people to read the book, because the book really discloses how they're able to travel higher or faster than speed of light, even though they didn't disclose a lot of the technical aspect. But it discloses what's needed in intergalactic travel. When you are traveling at super high speed, faster than speed of light, you would need to have antimatter guns to destroy space dusts or asteroids that come near to the spaceship. You would also learn about other technologies that we, the people, can utilize effectively to improve our health and well-beings. For example, the technologies of using colors to heal ourselves, because colors are very important. Actually, if you do some research, chromotherapy, the therapy using different colors, was very popular in the United States in the 1920s, before they discovered antibiotics and the FDA cracked down on chromotherapy, or the therapy using colors. And there are a lot of scientific studies on the effects of different colors on the human health system. For example, the color green can help with migraines, and the color blue can kill bacteria and viruses and things like that. And color red can energize people, and color pink can make people lose their muscle strength by 30%. And actually, if you do research, you're going to understand that there's a football coach in the U.S. That knew about this, and he painted the locker rooms of the visiting teams into pink color, and he never lost a home game. So you're going to learn a lot of secrets and technologies that the ET used to help themselves, and also could potentially help us, the readers, from this book. So this is the the difference. So I think the movement at the grassroots level in China and in the US is going to be more important than the disclosure from the government.
A question from Spectre, and people may remember Spectre as S, who I had on the podcast anonymously a few weeks ago talking about the Hellfire missile from the hearings. Spectre asks, here in the West, governments have framed the topic of UFOs as a technology or national security issue. How do the government and more generally the Chinese people view the topic currently?
Well, the Chinese people don't have as much fear as some of the U.S. government people have, because the Chinese government really doesn't have any narratives on the UFOs or ETs. I think the fear that people have in the U.S. or the Western world mostly comes from the narratives of the governments or the military-industrial complex, so that they can get more funding on the or to improve their defense contracts or systems. The Chinese government doesn't really say anything that the ET is a threat to the national security or anything like that. So the Chinese public doesn't have any fear of the presence of the ETs or the contacts of the ETs. To the people in the West, I would say that if you really think about it, if the ETs really wanted to destroy us, why wait now? Why not do that in the past when we had less developed technologies or defense technologies? Actually, if you read the book, if you read the ancient scriptures as well, you're going to find out that the ETs, especially ETs from Jehovah, they are trying to assist us directly and indirectly. They destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because the citizens of the two cities were so evil. So they destroyed the evil people who really had no way of coming back to the path of spiritual development. They destroyed the bad guys, and also they helped the righteous people, the people who are on the path of spiritual development. So they help us directly or indirectly. And also, I would use another analogy, is that have you ever wondered why we have not gone back to the moon for the last 50 years? The reason is that we are warned off from the moon. Because if you read the book, Theobald Prophecy, you're going to realize and understand why there are ET bases on the far side of the moon and how they were built and the reason why they did it. And it's not to watch us. It's actually something else related to the migration of the people from a planet to Earth in the past. And the reason they're warning us from going back to the moon is that we are not spiritually ready. Imagine if you go to the moon, go to a zoo, for example, would you invite the gorillas fighting amongst themselves to your beautiful mansion and to make a mess? You wouldn't, because they're not ready to behave in a very civilized manner. They're not ready spiritually. So similarly, they would prevent others to make a mess in our room, in Earth. They would prevent less civilized people from visiting us as well. It goes both ways. We are prevented to make a mess in other rooms, and they would prevent others to make a mess in our rooms. So as long as we are not ready, we are contained in an earthly environment, until we are able to develop successfully spiritually.
Question from Long Knife. It's a two-part question. He asks, what are the most common shapes for UFOs in China? Are there many black triangles? And separately, have the Chinese military sites had any drone flaps similar to what the US and the UK bases have had?
Well, China in the recent years especially did have a lot of kind of UAP phenomenon over there. And they were actually shot by the citizens over there. The most common shapes would be like not triangular shape, but either spherical or kind of like changing shapes. Sometimes it's spherical, sometimes it's kind of rounded, but not exactly spherical. And they would move very fast, at very fast speed in China, in the sky. And people would document that and then set among themselves, and the government would be kind of has no comment on those at all. And sometimes a lot of the government officials, they have no explanation either. And a lot of the Chinese people, they would be very surprised at that. They would see that as a phenomenon, and they don't have any explanation either.
And what are the most common shapes seen in China? Is it very similar to the West, where you have saucers, triangles, huge rectangular shape? Is there anything different?
I would say like saucers, and I haven't seen any triangle shapes in China yet, but mostly like saucers, kind of like shapes. And in terms of the drones, I don't see any reports of those in China. Sometimes they would see the drone, reports of drones in the Western world. In China, I don't see those.
Thank you. Trevzy asks, I'd be interested to know the media situation in China and how reliable it is, whether or not there's trust between the people and the media or government for them to accurately report upon what happens.
Well, the media does not report anything related to ET contact at all. Even though there's a very popular Chinese person, or actually there are several Chinese people who claim to have ET contact, the government doesn't really say anything at all. And then for the UAP UFO phenomenon, if their government official press reporting on that phenomenon, they would just say, oh, they have no information about it. They don't know what it is, but there's a documented appearance of UAPs or UFOs in the sky, in which they saw, or some people saw. It's mostly by the local Chinese media, like the provincial or the municipal Chinese media. For the central Chinese media, they do not report on this at all. This is the Chinese government media policy. They do not report on this kind of phenomena at all.
John asks a question. He asked a few questions, but we've covered those already. But one he did ask is, do you think there's any chance of whistleblowers coming forward to speak out in China, similar to what's happened in the United States? Or is the situation with the government so difficult it would be so hard for a whistleblower to come forward and speak about UFOs in China?
I don't foresee any whistleblowers from China speaking up, because if the government has a secret research on the UFOs, reverse engineering their technologies, it would be under strict control. Anyone who tried to speak out, if there were such projects, anyone who tried to speak out would be killed immediately. There wouldn't be any protections at all, and they have no qualms of killing anyone in China if there's such program over there. I wouldn't suggest there would be any secret programs in China. If there were, then they would be in collaboration of the U.S. government or the Australian government. Remember, like, when people think about this issue, they always think about whether that's the Chinese or American or Australian or the U.K. or the Russian government. From this book, The Yoba Prophecy, it implies that the industrial complex that we are facing against is not a national industrial complex. It's an international coalition. It's not, like, to them, there's no concept of countries or borders. It's them. They would have members from different countries. There will be a representative from Russia. There will be a representative from China or Japan or India or the UK or New Zealand or Australia. It is not, they don't have the concept of nations. To them, it's just a national coalition or the cabal. We have to understand the concept of nations is a political idea aimed at profiting the elite, the top. And also the idea insinuated or tried to convey in the book is that if you have a politician, whether it's a Republican or Democrat, whether it's conservative or Labor, they are actually controlled or manipulated by a group of people that remains in power forever. So the politicians are just puppets in the show. And the people who are really controlling everything stay behind the scenes. And those people are probably not the people frequently reported by the press. I actually happened to translate it to translate a different book from German into English, written by the former highest degree chair of a secret society that was founded in Germany. And I came to the conclusion that even though the book doesn't really mention the word Illuminati, the book talks about the Illuminati. It talks about how they control or manipulate the politicians and the businesses and the corporations. So people need to understand that it's not the Chinese or the Americans. It's the cabal, the industrial complex, military industrial complex versus the people who are not them. People need to change their ways of thinking.
Ansa Skold asks, if someone in China saw a UAP or a UFO and they told one of their co-workers, is there a stigma? What would the conversation be like? Is that something that someone would do, Samuel, in modern day China, report a UFO sighting to a friend or colleague?
Well, it depends whether the person is brainwashed by the scientists or not, or by the textbooks or not. To the people, to the general public, Chinese people would believe encounters or scenes of UFOs or UAPs, because they have read the stories in the past. There are stories of people coming to this world and establishing contact with the Chinese people in the past. But for the people who kind of are brainwashed by the medical establishment or the other establishments, they wouldn't believe anything like that. The conversation would, depends on who you talk to, would go like, oh yes, I believe that. I had encounters in the past. I had dreams about it in the past. Or it's nonsense. It doesn't really exist. So it really depends on whether the person is brainwashed by the establishment or not.
Thank you for that answer. Actor, designer, it's a bit of a longer question. Before the disclosure movement began to gather steam in the United States circa 2017, China's People's Daily was covering UAP reports as straight news. We'd been taught in the West to regard China with a combination of pity and suspicion, a place where truth was suppressed as a matter of course. So seeing the official party organ of the Communist Party in China soberly discussing a topic that our own government and media has so soundly and consistently dismissed as paranoid fantasy was startling, to say the least. Is it fair to assume that the Communist Party in China was encouraging, or at least permitting, open, serious discussion of the phenomenon? And if so, was it generally believed in China that some kind of scientific rigour was being applied to understand it?
Well, To answer this question, I think the Chinese government is going to keep silent on this issue for the foreseeable future, while allowing the media to report on the testimonies of the people in the U.S. And not the official media, but the media by the public. And remember, in China, not many people listen or watch the official media anymore. People in public, or a majority of the people, would watch or listen to media by the public or by the internet celebrities or the equivalent in China, the influencers in China. So the government official media doesn't have a lot of influence on the Chinese population anymore, except for certain areas such as politics or law. The majority of the people spend most of their time watching the reports by internet celebrities. So I think this is the difference between China and the US. The US people, the people in the Western world, are still waiting for the official government disclosure, while the Chinese people are starting to wake up at the grassroots level. And I think waking up at the grassroots level is going to become more effective than the official disclosure. I'll give you one more example. Is the power of inertia. Because if you really look at the great revolutions in the world, if you really look at it, the most long-lasting ones, the most effective ones, always come from the people. Like I want to make example of Chairman Mao. He was able to successfully unite the Chinese continent, the mainland of China, was because he started the revolution at the grassroots level, from the rural parts of China. If you look at the histories of China, you're going to see that dynasties after dynasties, the revolutions always start at the rural parts of China. Similarly, in other countries of the world, I believe it's always the same as well. So do not expect the governments to disclose everything or anything that would change the ways of people's lives. Expect something at the grassroots level. And the grassroots movement will be effective in China and elsewhere in the world.
A few folks asked a question along this same line, Samuel, mad in a good way, Claire, and a couple of others. Does China have anything like a disclosure plan, do you think?
Well, I don't see any plans of disclosure from the official channels of the Chinese government, because they have a lot of other things to worry about. For example, unemployment, the relationship with Taiwan, and also the economy. And also, they have a lot of things internally they have to take care of, for example, the political power struggles and also the instability of the Chinese government, things like that. So they have a lot of things on their plate to worry about. They wouldn't necessarily want to take the time to disclose something that wouldn't have any tangible effect to the stability of the country. So I don't foresee any disclosure from the Chinese government. However, I do see that the attitude towards the ET contact in the future, or the possibilities of extraterrestrials taking hold in the Chinese public, I see that gradually taking effect.
I'm going to ask you to speculate here, because as far as we know, you're not part of the Chinese government at the moment. So how do you think the Chinese government would react if the US did come out and disclose, if we got a general statement from the United States to say, we believe we have proof of alien life, or we have been visited, or we have alien technology? How do you see China reacting to that?
I see that China is going to report the asset as a news and then make no comment of it. And then the public, the Chinese public, is going to discuss it online and among themselves and to see if there's going to be a Chinese heroic figure that's going to come out and to disclose everything that corroborates with the disclosure or content of the U.S. Witnesses. And then I'm going to say that perhaps the Chinese government is going to pick one of the ET contactees, or maybe a few of them, that among the Chinese population who claim to have had ET contact, and to do or conduct official research on those a few ET contactees and then draw their own conclusions. However, I want to say this, the ET contactees in China that have researched so far have very good evidence, but the information contained in their disclosure or ET contactees is not as specific as those contained in the book The Yuba Prophecy. There's just not enough specific verifiable facts that would convince me to have any positive values or consequences to the people who learn about such ET contacts.
Hopeless Diamond asked a question. Could you tell us any more about the September 11th, 2010 incident at, is it Baotou Airport?
If I remember correctly, then they did see some strange objects in the sky, but I don't remember the details.
It was Inner Mongolia, and the airport was temporarily shut down after air traffic controllers detected a UFO on radar. I don't know if there is much more information than that, but...
Yes. There were actually not just one incident. There were several incidents in which the airports of China were shut down because of UFO or UAPs in the sky. And they reported as news, but they didn't make any comments. There are also encounters of close ET contacts in the Chinese media of several people. But there were several incidents in which the airports were shut down because of this.
Metal Matt asks a question, and I think you may have touched on this earlier, Samuel. What does Samuel think about the most famous Chinese UFO incident in 1994, the encounter of Lumberjack, and excuse my pronunciation here, Meng Zhaoguo in Heilongjiang province?
Yes, I believe that's a credible account of what happened to him, Mr. Meng. He actually encountered UFO in the forest of northeastern part of China, and he had some kind of effects that were diagnosed of radiation effects. I would say that if any contacts with the ETs that resulted in radioactive effects on the physical body of the ET contactee, I would be very suspicious whether that would be a man-made UAP or UFO versus a real ET, a real UFO from out of Earth. Because there's a universal rule is that when you are in contact with ETs, you are not to harm the ETs at all, and you are not to intervene unless you are given permission to intervene. So that incident in northeastern part of China would violate the rules of ET contacts. So I would suspect that the UFO or UAP was actually man-made by a secret program on Earth just to test to see how the Chinese people would react to such an incident. And there are such secret programs in the world in which they would test different races of people and to see how they would respond to such proposed ET contacts or ET incidents or impregnations. So I would say that that's a credible account, but he was probably interacting with a secret government program from Earth.
Similar to what researcher Melinda Leslie would talk about with her MILAB abductions and military abductions and hybrid programs and human alien, you know, collaborations, I think is the word I'm looking for there. Couple of questions to finish off, Samuel. You've been very generous with your time. I really appreciate it. And I'm sure the listeners and viewers will too. Algo says, great to get a new perspective. Thank you, Samuel, for joining the conversation. I'm interested to hear what UAP research and lore exist in China previous to 1950, and especially what connection there is to accounts of the paranormal and to Chinese mythology.
Did you say before 1950?
Yeah, 1950. So going back, yeah.
So before the Chinese Communist Party came to power in the mainland of China, there were a lot of... So before that period of time, most of the research, most of the documents were written in classical Chinese language. And there were anecdotal accounts of people encountering ETs. For example, there is a very famous account of a person who got lost in a forest. And then he met a person resting on a branch of tree. And then he was asking directions from that person. And that person was giving him directions. And also, they started to have a chat. And the Chinese person who lost asked him, like, where did you come from? And that person said, oh, I came from the back of the moon, the far side of the moon. And then, like, there were also exchanges of conversation in which asked, how did he get here? What were they doing in the back of the moon? And that person said they were building some structures in the back of the moon. So this is documented in the Chinese texts. And also, Chinese emperors were very superstitious of certain events that happen in the sky. For example, if the moon goes off, if the sun is having a lunar or solar eclipse, they would be very, very highly reflective. Because they believe that it must be something that they did incorrectly, causing the sky to behave that way. So there were documents like that, and also there were encounters of ETs as documented in the Chinese classical texts that were very highly. I would say read like a science fiction, but they would seem to be having certain validities if we look at it nowadays. That deserves a lot of special attention. But since they were written in classical Chinese, the language would be vague and also not specific and not detailed enough for a lot of modern scientists to do sufficient research.
Final question, Kevin says, great guest. How popular is the three-body problem in China, and has dark forest theory influenced ufology in his opinion?
Well, the three-body problem is a science fiction in China. It's a pure science fiction, and everyone knows about it in China. It's a humongously popular, and also people, it's the number one science fiction work in China. Top 20 science fiction works, and they're always the top one or two or something like that. And people see it as a science fiction, and because it doesn't have a lot of specific verifiable details as the book Theoba Prophecy, people just enjoy it as a science fiction and don't think much of it. It's very different from the book Theoba Prophecy, because the book Theuba Prophecy kind of conveys certain issues that present to the readers as their day-to-day issues. So they kind of connect their day-to-day life to the book. And also, it connects a lot of the things that the Chinese people see as their problems, their own problems, the problems of their cities, of their provinces, and also their country as well. So they see this book as a book of enlightenment to respond to the challenges of their lives and how to respond it correctly so that they can change their daily lives, their cities, their provinces, also their countries, in a very positive manner, and without any loss to their lives. So this is the reason why this book is very popular among the academics and also the people who are not in the academic world, because it talks about nonviolent resistance. So it has a lot of implications. Similar to what Gandhi did in India, it talks about the real effective way of changing the situation is nonviolent resistance at the grassroots level. So that has a lot of significance or impact to the Chinese people.
The Chinese television version of the three-body problem, I watched that on YouTube a couple of years ago, and it's one of the best series I've watched in years. It's much longer than the US, UK Netflix version, but it's very much worth it for the payoff, the storytelling, and it's much closer to the book than what the Netflix version was, let's just say. So I look forward to a second season of that. And Samuel, listen, thank you so much for your time. Is there anything you want to finish off on to let folks know how they can follow you, how they can get in touch with you? You've been wonderful to listen to, so thank you very much.
Yeah, they can find me on Facebook by doing a search of my name. They can also search me on search engines like Google or Bing. And I do want to encourage people to get a book, because it talks about how to respond to the challenges in life, which is to look inside for answers. For the kingdom of God is within you, says in the Bible.
Samuel, thank you so much for your time, and I'll definitely have to have you back on in the future.
Thank you, Andy.
That is all for this episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Don't forget to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. Apple and Spotify do make a huge difference to the algorithm. If you're checking the show on YouTube, please don't forget to like and leave a comment on here as well. Any sharing you do is very much appreciated on any social media platform. And finally, you can listen to shows ad-free and sponsor-free in their glorious full versions by subscribing for less than the price of a coffee on Apple, Spotify. Just search That UFO Podcast Premium. YouTube, you can sign up and be a member, or you can do that through patreon.com. Thank you very much for listening, folks.
It wasn't a tic-tac and not quite a saucer, more like a hubcap designed by Chaucer. A little baroque and quite steampunk, like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Funk. The little fucker hovered right inside of my window, and when I shoved out the screen, he made it in.